How does Jesus define the Christian's identity? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Confessing Jesus at our website, issuesetc.org. Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
When King Solomon turns from God, God decides to judge not just Solomon, but the entire kingdom. He splits the kingdom into north and south. The north eventually entirely disappears. And the south, well, a promise remains that God had made earlier to Abraham and then to David. And he intends to keep that promise, even though Solomon and his sons disobey. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll be talking about Jeroboam and Rehoboam in 1 Kings 11 and 12. Tom is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
King Solomon began very well. Tell us about that.
Well, one of the purposes that King Solomon was brought into the scene for was to build a house for God called the Holy Temple. David had thought he would be the one to build it, but the prophet was told by God that no, instead Solomon would be the one. So he not only built this house, but boy, he was very, very wealthy. In fact, at the end of 20 years in his mission, he had built two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. And there was a lot of wealth that he had. In fact, the Lord had appeared to him a second time as he had appeared at Gibeon. And he said, I have heard your prayer and your plea. I have consecrated this house that you have built by putting my name therefore. My eyes and ears will be there. I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father. And so Solomon was really well known. People would come from all over the place, including the Queen of Sheba, to get his wisdom. And he was very, very good king at the beginning of his reign.
What turned Solomon away from God?
Well, unfortunately, Solomon wanted to marry other women, particularly those where he wouldn't have to fight their fathers or their relatives in war. He ended up having 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And in verse 3 of chapter 11, and his wives turned away his heart. And that's explained in verse 4. When Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart from other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse 6 explains that Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. And because the Lord was angry with Solomon, well, he had raised up adversaries to Solomon, and that's what this Sunday school lesson is all about.
What did the Lord say to Solomon?
Well, when he was angry with Solomon and did not keep, he said, this is verse 11 of chapter 11, since this has been your practice, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you, and will give it to your servant. Yet for the sake of David your father, I will not do it in your days, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom. There were 12 tribes. But he says, I will give one tribe to your son. That becomes the tribe of Judah, for the sake of David my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem that I have chosen. And so this is a promise by God that the 12 tribes are going to be divided, and that was due to the sons of Solomon.
Why did Jeroboam rebel against Solomon?
Yes, this is in chapter 11, verse 26, 27, and it says that Jeroboam lifted up his hand against the king, and this was the reason why he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built the Milo, M-I-L-L-O, and closed up the breach of the city of David, his father. Now, Jeroboam had been hired by Solomon to be in charge over all the forced labor of the house of Joseph. And unfortunately, part of that was the building of a Milo. Most scholars are a little bit confused as to whether or not it was an expansion of what David had built. A Milo means a storage place. And Solomon, well, he had to have lots of storage places for his many, many wives and concubines. Then he built idols for them. And then he had a lot of horses and soldiers. And therefore, Jeroboam had decided that he needed to be against Solomon. Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon.
How does God bring judgment on Israel on account of Solomon's disobedience?
The judgment that God had brought on Israel was that there would be a division in the tribes. And the way that that happened was that Solomon, after his death, there was a battle between two of his sons, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And what God did through the prophet, he gave to Jeroboam 10 of the tribes called the northern tribes, called Israel, and he gave to Rehoboam 2 of the tribes, namely Judah and Benjamin. And that was because of the promise to David that David's kingdom would never end. Now, the reign of Solomon would end, the reign of Jeroboam and Rehoboam would end. But of course, God was talking about the reign of Jesus Christ that would never end, because that was established in Judah, in the city of Jerusalem. And even though God was so angry with those in the southern kingdom that he sent them into Babylonian captivity, that was only for a while, and he had another king that allowed them to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And it is that kingdom that was in existence at the time when Jesus was born. The northern kingdom had simply been taken over by the Assyrians and they were gone. But the southern kingdom remained. But it was a divided kingdom, never again to be put together except through Jesus Christ, when the new kingdom called the Holy Christian Church would be a kingdom where all the saints who were justified by God would be in that kingdom. That's the church on earth and the heavenly kingdom after the day of judgment.
What is the message that God sends to Jeroboam to send Solomon's son Rehoboam after Solomon's death?
Yes. He tells them that Rehoboam is not the individual that they are to worship, because Rehoboam got advice. He got advice as to be a king from the older men, who told him to reduce the amount of work that his subjects had to do. But he also got advice from his younger friends, who told him, no, put even more work on them. And so Jeroboam, he heard Rehoboam say that he forsook the counsel that the old men had given him. And he said, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So Rehoboam did not listen to the people. And that is said to be a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord. And he had fulfilled the word which the Lord had spoken by the prophet Ahijah. And he spoke that to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And that's when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned from Egypt, and they sent him and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. And there was none that followed the house of Israel, but the tribe of Judah only was all by itself in the southern kingdom. And so Rehoboam came to Jerusalem. He assembled the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, and he was about to go to war against his brother Jeroboam.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jeroboam and Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 11 and 12. How does Rehoboam respond? We'll find out next. How does Jesus define the Christian's identity? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Confessing Jesus at our website, issuesetc.org. Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood. Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on the division of the kingdom after King Solomon's death. So you mentioned that Jeroboam is made king. How does Rehoboam respond, Tom?
Well, he responds because the Lord comes to him. It came through Shemaiah, another prophet. And he was told, say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, those were the two tribes, and to the rest of the people. Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives, that is the people of Israel, the 10 tribes. Every man in Judah return to his home, for this thing is from me. And they listened to the word of the Lord and went home again and did not go to war against the various tribes in the north that were under, of course, the rule of Jeroboam.
So Rehoboam is approached to essentially follow in his father's footsteps and to ease the burden upon the people. And his response is that he's going to make things even more difficult for the people than Solomon did. How do the people react to those harsh words?
Well, they were not happy with it at all. He spoke to them. It says in verse 16 of chapter 12, and when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, look now to your own house, David. So Israel, the 10 tribes, went to their tents, and Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. But the rest of the folks went and were under Jeroboam. And when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they called an assembly and made him king over all Israel. And that's when Rehoboam got the idea of going to war against them. And the Lord said, no, you will not go to war against your own relatives. And promises have been made by God to both kings that if they followed his wisdom and brought peace to the land and did not do evil, things would be okay. But there was not one king that Israel ever had that obeyed the Lord. There were some in Judah that obeyed the Lord, and therefore they were rewarded with peace. But unfortunately, none for the northern tribes who were taken into captivity by the Assyrians.
The kingdom is divided, and those northern, as you just mentioned, those northern tribes disappear from history as distinct entities. How do we anticipate the kingdom being reunited in Jesus Christ?
That's the whole purpose of this lesson, and that is to show that God kept his promise to David, who was faithful to God until he died, in contrast to Solomon, who had so many wives and so much wealth, etc. And what God was doing was keeping the word that the house of David would never end. Now, the house of David Well, you would think it ended when they were taken into Babylonian captivity. But the house means also the relatives of David. And those relatives, well, Mary became a relative and was told by Gabriel the angel that at the fullness of time, she would bear a son who would be the Son of God. And it is Jesus who brings unification back into Israel. Israel in Romans 9 to 11 is explained as the Holy Christian Church, where God has declared those who believe in Jesus to be justified, forgiven their sins, not held accountable eternally for their sins, with heaven as their home. So this divided kingdom now becomes one again under Jesus Christ. Christians are part of the body of Jesus Christ with him as the head and we as various parts of the body. And that's how a divided kingdom becomes united again through faith in our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the crucified one, paying for our sins, rising from the dead, ascending into heaven, and is now our defense attorney before Almighty God the Father.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is that often we are influenced, as was Solomon, by the sinful ways of the world. And therefore, we turn from God and fail to follow his commandments, more interested in our reputation or the possessions that we have. And therefore, we do not follow the will of God. Now, even though we are faithless, one of the Bible studies for this coming Sunday indicates that God is faithful. And yes, our faithlessness, which can result in sin, God is faithful to us in keeping his promise and listening to Jesus from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And therefore, those who have received faith by the Holy Spirit are declared righteous, sinless, blameless, and as part of the family of God, heaven will be their home.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
In hour two, Amy Gehrke of Illinois Right to Life to join us to talk about Planned Parenthood's announcement of a mobile abortion clinic, and we'll discuss the church's culture and identity with Dr. John Bombaro. Stay tuned.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can help save lives in Southern Illinois by participating in 40 Days for Life, September 28th through November 6th. Vigils will be held outside abortion facilities at Granite City, Carbondale, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. For information on Granite City, visit 40daysgc.com. To learn more about Carbondale and Fairview Heights, go to coalitionforlife.com. You can protect mothers and children by joining the worldwide effort of 40 Days for Life, September 28th through November 6th.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.